Well, good morning. Is everybody well? Yes, praise God. Could we turn maybe to John chapter 1, please? I want to share a word this morning. Hallelujah. I just want to thank God that this week my wife and I celebrated our anniversary. We want to thank God for all the messages we got. And also my 66th birthday. As those of you who don't know, I got married on my birthday. Otherwise, how are you going to remember your anniversary? It's always an interesting experience. And unfortunately, sometimes my... But this year, I am now officially a pensioner. I'm now officially 66 years old, so therefore that makes me, according to the rules and regulation of the land, I'm now an old man. Praise God. Because I don't want to be a young man any much longer. It's too much hard work. Hallelujah. So we're really thankful. I'm very thankful for my wife. We have been together now 41 years. That's a long time. And God has blessed us, as most of you know, with five children, and we've, at the moment, only got five grandchildren, but counting, hallelujah. And so, some of you, we haven't met new people. I hope that you can feel that you're part of the family without the longevity of relationship. Because when you're born again, you don't need longevity to be part of the family. As soon as you're born again, your family. That's it. Ask any. I was just at the back there with the mummies. It's meant to be the mummies row back there. And there was the ladies were sitting there. Two of them are expecting. And one of them was holding their baby. And I said, what joy one baby brings to a family. Just one baby. And when you think of just... how many babies keep coming into the world? So if you're a baby in Christ or you're a baby in our family, please consider yourself not just welcome, but a blessing to us. You're a blessing to us. Who doesn't celebrate when there's a birth? Praise God. And so that's a very important thing. I'd also, I had a thought while the baptisms were going on, I thought, thank God we're not a religious bunch. I know this is going to, my family's going to get mad at me, but you know, I'd like my funeral to be like this. I really would. I'd like part of it to be a rocking, knockdown, drag out Jesus party for me. I mean, I'm the one that's dead, right? I mean, shouldn't you consider my requests? I mean, let them maiden. It's no good me telling you when I'm already dead. Cause anyway. So, you know, we should have a... anyway, think about it, Wyn. I think you'll be all right with it. I think it's the girls are going to struggle with it. But you know what I'm saying? We should celebrate. We celebrate everything in the kingdom of God. But we should celebrate the requests of the guy who's going. You know, but notice. Praise God. I'm having a better time than you. I mean, this life's awesome. But I tell you, that heaven's going to be a wonderful experience. Oh, yeah. And the older you get, the more exciting it is. Hallelujah. Not that I'm intimidated by age. Only when I'm trying to help my son move half a ton of sheetrock. I woke up this morning, I'm lying in bed, and I went, God, how do I do this? My mind and my body were not in agreement. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, then that's what we need to talk about. Hallelujah. Let's start with John chapter 1. Talking about, first of all, a brief testimony of Jesus that we've already touched on this morning. John 1:11. Somebody say John 1:11. Right, I'm saying that so you remember to read it in the morning. Oh, I challenged Jeremy. Is he here? Did he? Jeremy, if you're downstairs, get up here. So, did you watch him leap this morning? So now I've known Jeremy since he was this big. And I've known him all the years when he couldn't leap because of all the broken bones he's had. But, Mr. Crutches, but that was slow. but acceptable. So to come here. This is Jeremy. He's my man. So this is the challenge. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Stand over there. Tomorrow, move away a bit. Thank you, Elaine. That was very vital. I told him, tomorrow morning, when you get out of bed, I want to see you do what you did here during the baptism. Go! Right. Go away. Take your keys. He said, will you help me repair the sheetrock in the ceiling? So anyway, because he probably would put it. My point is, you see, it's very easy to do that when there's 200 people doing that. But what's he going to be doing in the morning? Actually, I was talking about you lot. How we must realize, you know, what's our Mondays and Thursdays and Friday afternoons like in relationship to the real us, which is what we see here on Sunday morning. You understand what I'm saying? Have you ever seen a great, brave gang member on his own? No, they don't exist. Here we go. John 1. Are you ready? Verse 11. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Praise God. Even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are not born by the will of man. Isn't it written? Are we okay with what's written? You're not born by the will of flesh. So therefore, there's no such thing as an accident if you have children. Hallelujah. There's no good ever, if you ever, don't ever say to your children, well, we didn't plan you. God didn't ask your opinion. Not according to this. According to this, you were not born by the will of man. You were not born by the will of the flesh, but of God. There's many other places in the scriptures, time permitting, we could go. But that's the reality. If you've believed that Lord Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, then you need to believe about your birth. Your new birth. Let's jump now to John the Baptist. Verse 19. Now this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem and said, who are you? Praise God. Good timing, son. He confessed and did not deny, but confessed. Let me read that again. He confessed and did not deny, but confessed. Sorry, one more time. He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I'm not the Christ. They said, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, no. Are you the prophet? He said, no. And they said to him, who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? Now, for many years, I thought the two most important questions in the Bible were, who are you, Lord, and what do you want me to do? Which is what Paul, or Saul as he was, asked Jesus on the Damascus Road. But I've come to believe now that the most important question that we need to answer while we're on this earth is this question. What do you say about yourself? Now, John the Baptist, for those of us that may not know, was the most famous son in Jerusalem. His father, Zechariah, was a priest, a Levite, probably relatively ordinary in his position in the hierarchy of the temple. But God decided, not Zechariah, God decided that he was going to give Zechariah and Elizabeth a son. And so John the Baptist was the son of Zechariah. Zechariah, remember, was in the temple burning incense, which was his job, probably doing it very religious. He was an older man. The Bible says so. He's probably been doing it for years. He was probably doing it by rote, you know, like many of us did. Used to say the Lord's Prayer by rote. Did anybody have that situation in their life? We did when we were at school. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. You know what I'm saying? You're just saying it by rote. You're not actually confessing it. You're just saying it. So, see, the word confession means, is literally homologeo. Homologeo. And it's from two Greek words, homo meaning the same, logeo meaning the word, logos meaning the word. In the beginning was the word. In the beginning was the logos. Are we okay? So confession literally means to speak the same as the word. Okay? Confession. That's confession. Talking's talking. So John's father was the most famous man. Remember what happened? Is he now was going to, was approached by Gabriel. Gabriel said, you're going to have a son. He said, yeah, right, I'm old. And then he did one of the great mistakes. He made a, threw out a fleece and said, how will I know this? And God, responding to his unbelief, struck him dumb. Be careful what you do with your unbelief, folks. And so he was now dumb for 9 months until John was born. They're expecting to call him Zechariah because that was the name of his father. He got a slate and he wrote on it, his name is John. And as he said, wrote John, his tongue was loosed. And as his tongue was loosed, he began to prophesy. And that was the first prophecy that had ever been heard in Jerusalem for 400 years. For 400 years, there'd been nothing in Israel but religion. For 400 years, there'd been nothing in Israel but rote. For 400 years, there'd been nothing in Israel but the same thing every week, every year, every time, nothing different for 400 years. That means every child of Israel was born into boredom, was raised with boredom, was instructed in boredom, and now lived in boredom thinking that was the norm. Suddenly Zechariah prophesies and the whole of Israel said, whoa, what's happening? And who's he prophesying over? His son. And what does his son do? Quit the job. Quit the family business. He's got the most famous father in all of Israel and he leaves it. What do you say about yourself? Now I was... This morning, I met a young man. I said, morning, how are you? And he said, you're British. I said, all right. He said, I'm Welsh. I said, you play rugby? He said, yes. I thought, we're mates, hallelujah. Morning, how are you? And I betrayed myself. In four words, I told him where my flesh was born. I told him where I was born by the will of man. I told him where I was born by the will of flesh. But I didn't confess that I was born by the will of God. So what I want us to look at this morning is, what do you say about yourself? What do you say about yourself? Who are you? Because it's very easy for us to just confess the flesh, isn't it? Now, those of us that have been born, not us, those of you that have been born in America and lived in America and raised in America, you're just Americans. You'd think. Well, yesterday I bumped into a young man, literally, and we began to talk. He wasn't looking where he was going, or he wasn't looking where I was going, one or the other. And to me, he struck me, I got, this guy's an Indian, Asian Indian, like Abe Indian, Indian. So we walked outside and we were going, I said, so where are you from? He said, Queens. We're in Coxsackie. Does anybody know where Coxsackie is? I mean, we're that close from redneck, right? Sorry if you're from Coxsackie. My son's smiling because he lives in Coxsackie. Hallelujah. Right, in Coxsackie, you're that close from Redneck. So I'm talking to this guy. Where are you from? Queens. And I thought, nah. Yeah, I mean, ethnically. So this was the next one was great. He said, South America. Now, straight away, I guessed he's from Guyana. But because he doesn't speak Spanish, right? Because obviously later I asked him. So here we have a guy who looks like he's from India, but he's not. He's from Coxsackie or Queens or South America. His ancestors are from India. So I'm really beginning to think, what do you say about yourself? Because when I asked him, he's an American. You see, but his flesh betrayed him. His flesh betrayed him because he didn't look American, if you may bear with me for a minute. He didn't look like, you know, what one might think. So here he was, his flesh betrayed him. But it didn't actually identify where he was from. Yeah. He was from Queens. But his flesh looked like he was from India. He's never been to India in his life. But that's where he looks he's from. So my question is, where are you from? What does it look like where you're from? When somebody see your flesh, what do they think you are? Who do they think you are? Because all they've got to go by is your flesh, and if I may be so bold, which I tend to be, the action of your flesh. So when they know you according to the flesh, what do they think about your birth? When they're looking at your flesh, do they now identify with you just being a another like them? Or are you a child of God like the word said we can become? So this is more important than you think. Now, I want to say this. Faith. Somebody say faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Do we agree? That's what the scripture says, right? Without faith, it's impossible. Impossible to please God. No matter what you think you do or what you are or even what you say, it's not going to please God unless it's by faith. Right. So we pray by faith. And we praise by faith. But I still believe that 24/7, the most important part of our lives is what do we confess by faith. Because when we're all here, we're all giants. I mean, you heard what Elaine said this morning. You know, if you didn't feel the presence of God this morning, because there's so many of us that are praising by faith and experiencing by faith, the anointing by faith and the corporate anointing by faith, but we're only here a couple of hours a week. And your life cannot be robbed when you're on your own. Now, let me just say something about the difference between what's true and what's truth. Are we okay? You're looking very serious. Is it this message or have I? Anyway, praise God. I asked Amber to give this illustration. So if you didn't know Amber, which some of you don't, and you were to say to her, how many children do you have? And she said, I have a son. That's true. It's completely true. It's 100% true. I could do the same. Somebody said, Vaughn, how many children do you have? I could say, I've got two sons. They're both here this morning. But it's only true. It isn't the truth. You see, in the scripture it says, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Now, we as corporate are going somewhere serious in God. Hallelujah. But individually, how you doing? Individually, how you doing? Individually, how are you doing on Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, Saturday morning? You know, this is the most important thing. And you can't, well, maybe you can. Personally, I can't reproduce this kind of corporate anointing on my own. I'll be honest with you. So therefore, I've got to have something just as powerful as this if I'm going to live 24/7 in victory. Are we okay? And the best way I found is, what do you say about yourself? What do you say about yourself? Who are you? Are you just an another, the guy at work, like everybody else at work on Tuesday morning? Are you whining and complaining? I was talking to somebody about this morning, just as much as they are, in which case you look like an Indian from Guyana or Queens or Coxsackie, because your flesh is betraying you. But if what happens is you begin to answer when life says, what do you say about yourself? What's your answer? When who's coming, like they did to John the Baptist? I'll tell you who's coming. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the lawyers, the scribes, the people who are in bondage and want to keep you in bondage. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody remember in the bad days, Pastor Chris preached this morning, there's no such thing as the good old days. I'm sorry, I don't believe that. I don't believe there's any such thing as the good old days. Because the Bible says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching out to that which is before. So therefore, our future has to be bright. And the only way that can happen, especially if you're 66-ish, is to have a good confession, hallelujah. It's to always be, when you're asked the question, like me getting out of bed this morning. Now, yesterday, I moved, must have been half a ton of sheetrock. My son is building a house, him and his wife, and all the scraps, big house, all the sheetrock outside, and I had to throw it on a truck. Sounds easy to you. It's been raining a bit, some of it was heavy, it was getting a bit... And of course, it was hot yesterday, right? I'm in the sun. And so, you know, and this morning I woke up. Oh, and I had now to try and think, okay, I need something to get out of bed. Because the praise band hadn't turned up yet. So the joy of the Lord, which is my strength, can't come from the band. It had to come from my confession. Are we okay? So it's our confession. And so many of us, who was I talking to? The Colas this week. I came to see him here at Little Lambs. And they had their little baby. Have you seen their new little baby? And I said, how much does he weigh and how's he doing? And I said, you know, the Little Lambs is growing and all your children are growing. I said, they're growing like bamboo. Because people love to say they're growing like weeds. If you do that to me, I will slap you. I'm 66 now, I can do that. What do you mean growing like weeds? The Bible talks about weeds. God's going to pull them up and burn them. I don't want my kids growing like weeds. My children always grew like bamboo, hallelujah. Which is the fastest growing thing in the world and is the lifeblood of Asia. They eat it, they build furniture from it, they build houses from it. Come on, somebody help me. So if you're going to try and insult my kids, I would say, no, they're growing like weeds. Remember that time at the checkout at Victory down in Tannersville or Prattsville, wherever it was. We were at the checkout and we got all of the little ones. I say, oh, they're cute little devils. I said, they ain't devils. They're angels. I'm not having people to confess that stuff over my kids. Now, the problem is, okay, let's go to, why not? Let's go to, well, I got a scripture here, believe it or not. Ephesians 5:8. Ta-da! Oh, man, that was quick. It said, look at this. For you were once, say once. Everybody say once. Say it like you mean it. Once. Whoa. You were once darkness. So whatever you used to suffer from, You once were that. It says, it's talking to the church, it isn't talking to some individual. It's in the letter to Timothy or Titus. This is talking to us. You once were, past tense, darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Okay, now let's go to the next verse, please. Colossians 1:13. Gee, I didn't realize I was moving so slow. Are we coming? He has, somebody say has, delivered us. It doesn't say delivering us. It doesn't say he will deliver us. It says he has delivered us. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Right? Conveyed us into that. That word is like the word rapture. It's like the word translated. We were darkness. Booyah! We're light. Now walk in it. The trouble is, you have a memory, you have a past, you have a flesh. You look like an Indian in Coxsackie. Now, talking about Indian, means we've got one sitting here. This is my daughter married one. He just went back to India for his sister's wedding. And he had a horrendous experience of culture shock. I knew it. Hey, stand up so they know I'm talking about you. Em, sit down. I knew it was going to happen. His wife was shocked. I knew he was going to experience it. Why? He's been living in America. He got translated from India into the USA. And he said, when he came back, he said, I can't believe I used to live in that chaos. That's what he said. I'm not making these words up, brother. He said about his own country. I can't believe I lived in that chaos. Now, how many of you are still living in the chaos of your old life? Huh? You're still living in the chaos of your old life instead of realizing you once were that. You were that, but you've been translated into a new kingdom. And the only way to live in the new kingdom is when the religious and the Pharisees and the accuser of the brethren comes to you and say, what do you say about yourself? And you know what the answer is, because it's in the next verse. He said, I am. That sounds familiar. We've been talking about that this morning. We all sung about it. We confessed it this morning. I am. There's no I'm going to be. There's no one day I hope. It is I am. What? A child of God. We all sung it this morning. All right, let's quickly go to Romans 8:2. Many of you have heard this illustration before, but I can't think of a better one. Here it goes. For the law, somebody say law, of spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Thanks. Off. Okay, let me show you something. You see this? I'm very proud and thankful to be a possessor of this. If you can't see at the back, it's my American passport. But I also have one of these, which if you can't see, is a British passport. Yes, United Kingdom of Great Britain. Right, right, right. So, right. Hello, how are you? You're British. What betrays the fact I'm British? Why at all? Not the way I look. You wouldn't know. I'm big enough to be an American. Huh? I like that. Yeah, I'm big enough to be an American. Right? So this is what I was, and this is what I am. And now we have to make a decision. Which one of these do I live in? I just came back from England. Had a nice time. Weather was great. Let me say it again slowly. The weather was great in England. Go on record. I said it. I experienced it. The weather was great. But who wants to drive in England? Man, the roads are so narrow. Ask Stacey. The roads are so narrow, two cars can't pass in some roads. You have to back up on a public road. You can't get past another car. And they're not one-way streets. It's crazy. So, praise God. And the space. My brother's son just bought a house, 4-bedroom, 2-bath, in on a postage stamp of land, right? It's not as nice as the house I live in. It costs £600,000, which by translation is just over $900,000. And we're not talking about Manhattan. We're talking about as if he bought it in Saugerties or somewhere. You know what I'm saying? I like Saugerties. I'm trying to save as a small community. So I thank God for that. Okay. I've been translated. The law of spirit and life in Christ Jesus set me free from the law of sin and death. So you've heard me say it before? If a British policeman walked in here, right? Boom. And a British policeman walked in and said, "Are you Vaughan Gerald?" I said, "I am." "Well, I've got a warrant for your arrest." And he tries to cuff me. Now, if I say, oh no, oh God, I'm done. But if I say, "Get knotted, go jump in the lake, but I arrest you in the name of the law." Wrong law. You're the law of spirit and you're the law of sin and death. I'm now under the law of spirit and life. You can't arrest me, Mr. Accuser of the Brethren. You can't arrest me because I'm no longer under that law. I'm under that law. Hallelujah. Now, I admit I cheat. Because Americans like English accents. I'm sorry. They do. So I keep this. So everyone says, "Where are you from?" And now we're talking, right? See, you start with the talk. But I am an American. And I do not submit to the laws of England. I only submit to the laws of the spirit and life in Christ Jesus. What do you say about yourself? Now, maybe you say, "I'm an American." That's not my point. My point is, you're now born again. What do you say about yourself? "I am." That's the whole point. I am. I am. I am what? I'm a child of God. I'm born again. I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. You see, if you, when you're asked, say, "How many children you've got?" You say, "I've got one son." You're being robbed. Because she also has 4 daughters. I could say, "I've got 2 sons. I'm being robbed because I've also got 3 daughters. So I don't want to just confess part of my experience, part of my inheritance, and part of my new citizenship. I'm going to confess it all. What are you confessing? You see, I come on. I mean, I've been around a lot. I've been around for 66 years. Did I tell you that? You see, I've heard Christians go, "Oh my God," instead of, "Oh, praise God." Big difference. "I'm a God, praise God. What citizenship are you?" Huh? You know you do it. How many times have I heard believers say, "Oh no," instead of, "Ha, yes, all the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes and amen." See, you got to determine what you say about yourself. Do you consider yourself, now I can't say loser, because that would mean the British are a bunch of losers. I'm not saying that. But according to the Pharisees, you're a loser. And if you don't confess your new birth, your new identity, your new, "This is what I say about myself," I hate to say it, even though you're not, you will begin in the skin to reflect you're a loser. Are we okay? All right, couple of quick things before we finish. Praise God. What? Oh, good. Okay, maybe you say, like for instance, right? "I'm the righteousness of God." Oh, well, that's a bit, well, you know. How about Bill Gates? "I'm the richest guy in America." What are you going to say about that? Are you going to argue? He is. So is it arrogance? You know, I've heard LeBron James say, this could be debatable, I'm the best basketball player in the world. Now, of course, a lot of people may think, our other buddy who got the MVP this year, but, you know, long term, you got to start giving it to this LeBron James dude. And here we have this guy, this 6'9" athlete, this crazy basketball player saying, I'm the best basketball player. What are we going to say? You see, he's saying, I am. He's not saying, oh, one day I hope to play basketball in the NBA. He's not saying that. He's saying, I am. He's saying we, as children of God, have to have a confession to say who we are. Is that what you're confessing? I am a child of God. I am born again. Old things have passed away. I am no longer tempted by sin. I am no longer tempted by womanizing, by pornography, by drugs, by alcohol. I'm no longer tempted by that because I am a new creature in Jesus Christ. I am a child of God. Hallelujah. I am everything God said I am. Praise God. So one of the biggest dangers is, do you know what God says about you? So we get back to, how well do you know this? And I really want to encourage you, think about that. How well do you know when the accusation comes, you can say, I am. So I'm going to close in a story I've told many times before, but it's one of my favorite stories ever. We had a friend, Tom and Lenora Bush. They lived up in Cobleskill, and he was a successful businessman. He had a big house, way over 5,000 square feet, nice land. He had a sauna. He had a basketball court, not a full one, but, you know. It was a really nice property, and this guy had money. And they were missionaries, and they went and adopted two little girls from India. Some of you have heard this story. Ronnie and Deborah. And so what happened is Ronnie and Deborah came from the poverty-stricken streets of Chennai. Used to be called Madras in India. And they came over, just little peanuts. They were probably like 4 and 2. In those days, it was very easy to adopt children. So they went over there, they brought them back. And now they're raising them in this huge house in Cobleskill. And what happened was every morning, Lenore would give them a glass of milk and 2 cookies. And so they'd eat one cookie, and then they'd slip the other one in their pocket. And she'd say, well, what are you doing? She said, well, we're saving it for later. She said, you don't have to do that. And they go to the cookie. They go to the cookie jar. And she say, look, the cookie jar's full of cookies. And they go, yeah. Next day, glass of milk, 2 cookies. They'd eat the cookie, put the other one in their pocket. But look at the cookie jar, it's full. Look at the fridge. Yeah. Next day, you can guess. Glass of milk, 1 cookie. You know they did that for a year because they couldn't renew their minds with the truth. They kept living in the poverty of their past instead of the prosperity of their now. So I want to encourage you. Don't be robbed from your inheritance by trying to remember whether this was good or not. No, this is not your identity. You're now a new creature in Jesus Christ. And my God has plenty of cookies in his jar. Hallelujah.